Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Monday, June 1st, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Joined by Steve Hellwagon, Dave Biddle, as he is wont to do, spending part of his summer sunning himself in a nondescript, or we can't get in touch with him, Caribbean locale. He will regale us with stories of bikinis and beaches at some point, but Steve and I will attempt to carry the load here today. Got a great show for you, I think. A little bit of a more general view of the football and basketball programs as we kind of set sail on the new month. And Steve actually has to hustle out of here because the basketball team have a good summer. They're back. Saw the guys move in, doing the preseason hotel look yesterday, and got a chance to see all the new faces, and with basketball, that means something. All the new faces. We are in an era of new faces. So we're going to talk football for the first two-thirds of the show, and then we're going to dive deep on the basketball team. I know there are some of you who are allergic to Ohio State basketball coverage. That's fine. You will get your 20 minutes of football, and then you will get 10 of the best basketball minutes you'll ever get after that. First, Steve, thanks for being here. Steve and I share a common affliction with other Bucknut staffers. I don't know if it's an affliction, but when we see you at a graduation party, we know what you want to talk about already.
How they look.
My dad was a physician and was asked for free medical advice at every gathering of people, and I get asked about the Buckeyes. Thankfully, in Ohio, it's usually, I would say it's 90-10, good to bad. But it's very interesting at these parties what comes up, what people want to talk about. Some of the low-hanging fruit we've already probably covered here in recent shows. But here's one that came up that I found quite interesting. I wanted to get your opinion on it. Steve is the current title holder on the beat as the most venerable longstanding sage on there. Tim May took a break, so we're not counting his interim time. So Steve's the number one seed. Last year's team, coming out of the Michigan game, that was the reason they lost the next two games. There was so much buildup for the Michigan game. So keep this in mind. When they walked off the field at Michigan, they had beaten them for the first time in several years. They were currently holding the national title belt, and I think there was a possible letdown after that. I had one friend who's adamant this is the reason that – and I will say this. The reason I brought this up is I remember watching the Big Ten championship game, and even though they lost, I will admit it did not have the same – juice or vibe in my soul that it sometimes does when they lose. So was I benefiting from the Michigan hangover effect at that point in time? When you look back on it now, because they were the odds on favorite to win it. You know, as you saw those guys get drafted in the top 10, top 11, everyone's like, well, how'd they lose the national championship with five superheroes on the team, etc.? Do you think that's possible? Was there a collective letdown? I don't think purposely, obviously, that winning the Michigan game, and believe me, it was a big deal. Don't let anyone tell you different. You remember what you felt like before that day and afterwards. What's your vibe on that theory?
Yeah, I think that you make a good point, Dan, and good morning to you and everybody out there. I think that it was the dragon that they had to slay in that season. It had gone on too long. It had been, what, since 2019, 6 years that, four games in 6 years that they hadn't won, and it was time that they had to do that. And I think there was a collective sigh of relief after they beat Michigan. And then the next team up is Indiana, a team that they took care of very easily the year before in Columbus, and kind of popped Indiana's balloon the year before. And of course, it's Indiana. Ohio State hadn't lost to them, what was it, since 1988 or something stupid. So, I think there were a lot of factors that contributed to that loss. And one of them, as I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, was Ohio State made themselves very beatable in that game down the stretch in the fourth quarter by – taking all day to run offensive plays. I mean, I've never seen a team, and I harp on this, in 50 years of watching football that goes slow in the second half when you're trailing on the scoreboard. I've never seen that, and we saw that in both the Indiana game and the Miami game. So they made themselves beatable in some regards with the way they approached the game, but it was a combination of factors, Dan. I mean, they held Indiana to 13. Nobody else did that all season. I mean, they just scored again on Alabama, and they just scored again on Oregon.
Yeah.
One of the funny things I come back with on Indiana, I know I'm digressing, is Dan Lanning, when they lost at home to Indiana, he goes over to Siggy, and he's like, bro, big hug. Go get him. Okay, Siggy, you take it the rest of the way. When Indiana stopped them in the semifinals and – basically embarrassed them and de-pantsed them, Lanning was not smiling. He didn't like that. So we got a lot of subplots this year, and we'll see how it all turns out. My dogs are freaking out here, but that's
all right.
Part of the show. Yeah.
Our show is used to dog interference. We actually encourage
it. Miami. I'm going to put the dogs outside so they don't bark.
Do it. Yeah. It's just an interesting theory because – and I get – 614 Rob, and was expecting a comment of such that I was saying, Steve, I was expecting this comment. Blaming the Michigan game for losing the next two sounds like an excuse. The offensive line got waxed in both games. Yeah, I understand there's on-field reasons for everything. I'm just saying I do think and the fact that the Big Ten championship game was really going to have no effect on whether they kept going or not.
Still top two. Yeah,
it's a confluence of factors. But it's just very interesting. I do think that's also where the angst towards Julian Sands started, but we'll discuss that at another time.
We won't know how he handles duress till he's in duress the next time, which is Texas, I presume. So,
yeah. I didn't plan on hitting that one. What's your thoughts on Sands? There are some who are,
I think Dave and I have been very clear that I'm almost kind of alarmed at the negativity surrounding him. You're talking about, I mean, obviously, I'm sorry, that Mika just with the all time. That's my dog's name. That's my dog hopping in. If we get on a first name basis with Steve's dogs, they will have been misbehaving. yeah, but the Julian Sain thing, keep in mind, Julian Sain is the leading returning Heisman vote getter. He was unbelievable last year. He had some difficulties down the stretch. Julian Sain, heading into this year, how confident are you?
Very confident. I mean, he was a ball completion specialist. I mean, he loses Carnell Tate out of that equation and Max Clair, who was very quietly a very productive tight end, I think, for Ohio State. They're going to have to replace those guys, but they brought in some good players with Devin McCune and Kyle Parker. I think those guys are going to do pretty good at wide receiver for him. And you've got Chris Henry Jr., you know, as a true freshman as well. And of course, Jeremiah Smith. But as my buddy said yesterday, you know, he's just not sure about Ohio State. He said, you know, Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sain are great, but neither one of them can block or tackle. And that is a bit of a problem. I think more the blocking than the tackling. I think the defense will work itself out. Matt Patricia, he's a wizard, and he'll come up with something, I think. But
he's earned the benefit of the doubt for sure.
Definitely, definitely. I think the offensive line, you know, has got to play like they did down the stretch in the playoff run in 2025 or 2024, and not how they played in 2025. So that, or the least down the stretch in 2025. So yeah, I think that the quarterback is a product of the players around him. That's the old Jim Tressel line. And no more was that ever true than the Indiana and Miami games. And as we said, we won't know how Sain responds to duress until they get into the third quarter in Texas. And he's been sacked a couple times and game's on the line, bro. You know, you got to go win it. So that's when we'll know what Sain's truly made of.
I'm going to throw a little quib in there before I ask the next question. The best thing that could happen for Ohio State would be if Bo Jackson gets invited to the Heisman ceremony. I digress. I'm serious about that too. I mean that.
I agree. If he pops off 1,600 yards, then it,
also go back and watch.
There'll
said
be a chicken in every pot for Christmas. Let's just say that.
I said this to Dave. I don't know if you ever go back and do this. I watched the Michigan game from last year again recently, and I'm such a nerd. I'm the nerd who, when he watches classic sports TV and my team's in it, I still get nervous that we're going to blow it. Even though the game has already taken place 10 years ago. In this case, if you go back and watch the beginning of the Michigan game, it was awful. It was really bad. The person that stabilized it was Bo. There was a confrontation with a Michigan safety. They got fired up, big run next, and the running game actually helped win the Michigan game. So I don't want to besmirch that. All right, here's my question. And this came up a ton. Hun at the this is like gospel now, which I don't get. Ohio State's schedule for the season ahead, everyone has said it's the hardest schedule ever. We had a hyperbolic fan on here saying they're going to lose four games, and which I told him, if we lose four games, that means the earth has come apart from its axis and we are hurling towards the sun. So don't worry about that. That'll never happen. I refuse to even accept that premise without serious extenuating circumstances like Tattoo Gate. And I don't see that coming. And then you go from there. It's a very high-profile schedule. I'll tell you what. I think the schedule is a little bit overrated. If you actually go and sit down game by game, I will bet you the team that sees us on the schedule is more worried than we are in most cases. Now, there's a war of attrition, and I do think the fact that we've gone to all these extra games and the idea that you're going to play basically a 16-game season, people are just more comfortable saying Ohio State's going to lose. We do prediction shows every year. People aren't from Washington won't understand this, but Sonny Jurgensen. I picked the Buckeyes to go undefeated every year. I think that's a part and parcel of my job as publisher. Sometimes I really believe it. Sometimes I believe it mostly. I don't know if I could do that this year. but I'm thinking about it. Your thoughts on the schedule as you look through it and go game by game. I mean, it's a sexy schedule. There's no question you can sit and ham it up. But I will say that it's actually a little bit overrated. And one of the reasons is I think Ohio State's very good at quarterback, even though they face a few of them. Your thoughts on the schedule? Am I just being too sunny?
No, I think that, again, as these teams get into the season, they're going to beat one another. And so as you get into October and November, some of these teams that we are projecting currently as top 10, top 15, they're going to have some losses. And I think that that's definitely a possibility as you look at it. I think Texas, to start out, everyone says they did really well in the portal. And so we're going to examine their roster as we get closer and closer to that game. And we're going to find out, you know, is Texas for real? Is Arch Manning for real? You know, that's what we need to find out. You know, Colt McCoy, Ohio State played him before he was Colt McCoy and they beat him. You know, is Arch Manning all that's cracked up to be? You know, I guess we'll find out when that day comes. But, you know, you go down through this. Three top 10 teams for sure, Texas, Indiana, and Oregon on the schedule. That's pretty daunting. And two of those are away. So two losses is a definite possibility for this team. And if they lose to Texas, it could be three. So, man, it at USC is a sneaky one. Lincoln Riley, is he for real? Or is he just posing for pictures? You know, I mean, what are we doing? You know, so – you know,
my guy's got a beach house. I can tell you that
he does at Iowa. They give, you know, just look at the Indiana and Oregon games at Iowa here. The last time both those teams went there, and it'll tell you how difficult it is. Didn't Indiana win there like 15-10 or something stupid? So yeah, it is very daunting. I think just if you took them individually, but I agree with you. I think that some of these teams are going to sort themselves out. And by the time the game rolls around with Ohio State, you know, because of injuries or whatever else, it may not be quite as daunting as it appears on paper today.
I got to see Indiana do it. I know everyone's just appointed them the next blue blood and such. They're going to enjoy a season now where they are going to be the hunted. And let's be fair, that has never happened before, ever, yeah. Like in the history of time. Indiana has never been as targeted in football as they are today. Cignetti is two or three press conferences also, I think, from everyone turning on him. And they lose a few games, and he gets to be blowhard. James Madison wasn't getting a lot of credit for it. Now, that part of that's wishful thinking, because last thing we need is another behemoth in the Big Ten to actually trade punches with. But and you know what? Oregon, that you mentioned – you mentioned Lanning. My guy's got to be on the little, not a hot seat in terms of his job, but we are about like into the, you know, like there's a lot of bluster and maybe not a lot of W's in big games. Am I yep. wrong on that?
No, and Dante Moore's got to prove when he gets into the situation, is he going to spit the bit? Is he going to throw picks? And he can't do that. You know, I mean, he was very young when he played Indiana the first time. And okay, what was the excuse the second time? You know, it's like you got to play up in the big moment. And Ohio State more times than not has done that. And these other teams simply haven't. So it's going to be, I get excited about this season just thinking about the games. I mean, unlike last year where it was a walkover and in the third quarter I could get up and take a walk around the stadium and get my steps in. You know, didn't have to watch the second half of a lot of these games. So, yeah, it was you know, I think it's going to be a much more interesting season. I'll just say that.
I do think it'd be more interesting. And look, they don't have to go undefeated. No. That's been proven now. That said, let's look at their – I mean, yes, they lost to Miami. How many points did they give up? Yes, they lost.
Well, 17 on offense, and then the other seven from the Ohio State offense.
Nobody scored more than 17.
Yeah.
And then the question I get was, well, they're losing all these guys to the draft. And my response to that was, I've heard that before. It was last year. I mean, we lost half the team. Now – we don't have two legitimate lupine werewolves to line up at linebacker, who the draft tells you, not a common group on defense. I can tell you personally, it's funny. The number one thing I'm worried about for the team is, was there magic jelly between Caleb Downs and Matt Patricia that seeped into everybody else and kept them from busting when, let's all be honest, they always had a game a year where they would bust three coverages and lose. That did not happen last year. They got beat. They got beat a few times, but not, when I mean busted, I'm talking guy running free because there's a decision being made poorly. Now, I will say this, that magic jelly has been transferred to my pro team, and I'm more confident in the Cowboys defense than ever because Caleb's on the team. I got to see the Patricia defense do that without him now. I'm a
great point
of the Matt Patricia fan club, but we'll see.
Jalen McClain seems like he's a guy. I think the transfers they brought in, Earl Little Jr.
Little is promising.
Yeah, and Terry Moore, I like him as well. It'll be interesting to see how they can, you know, assimilate all these new guys on defense. I mean, they basically went across the South and said, well, okay, we'll take three from Alabama, one from Florida State, one from Georgia, and they're counting on all those guys coming in and playing.
Sounds fun, but go ahead.
Yeah. They went on a Southern swing, as some of my old friends would say. But I just look at it that Patricia, he's going to mold this thing, and it's going to look really good when they get it together on game day. And I just have this feeling it's going to work out. Nobody is heralded on this defense. They all should be playing with a chip on their shoulder to go get paid. And Kenyatta Jackson could be a star, but you know, he's got to take his game to that next level this year and really show it. So if he does that, and the unsung hero last year was Cade McDonald. I mean, he held the point.
Oh my gosh.
On the run game, and he also collapsed the pocket in the pass game. And he, you know, he gets the hockey assist. You know, he's the guy who made the play in the trenches to set up Caden Curry or to set up Styles or Arvell Reese to make plays. So yeah, it to me, they're gonna miss him as much as anybody.
No, McDonald was tremendous. I mean, I've said this a million times, how great he was. All the goal line stands. You could put a highlight in the last 2 years of, I've never rooted for a team before. They would get inside the 5-yard line. The other team would be like, oh, they're not going to score. This is good. What do you mean they're inside the 5? I'm like, no, this is actually good. And they're like,
they're too close. Too close.
Too high. It's like in Major League when the guy hits the home run. Too high. He's like, too high.
Anyway. Too close to the end zone.
Here's another thing about that. We are not the only team doing this, okay? Everybody has to remake their offense and defense via the portal now. So that idea of 52 pickup, and we are not – every single team is fighting the exact same massive transfer battle. Good Lord, we haven't talked about basketball yet. That's incredible. All right. Last deal. Actually, you know what? Let's answer whatever football questions we got here. I got a couple, and then we're going to move on to hoops. And then Steve is going to go hang out with the boys here. Yeah, I did that. This is a good one and an interesting one. Do you think Ryan Day will change his coaching approach this year because sure of all the changes and getting embarrassed a bit in the last two games? I guess the question is, now that they have the format of a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator who I think are truly in charge, is Day just a walk-around coach? Is he helping out with special teams? How do you think it changes now that he's got two NFL head coaches working for him?
Yeah, I think it helps immensely to have Arthur Smith running the offense. These dogs, again, going nuts and letting them out. I think Arthur Smith, again, hopefully he has the same type of impact that Patricia had on the defense and that, you know, Chip Kelly had on the offense 2 years ago, that you have an offense that makes sense, that one thing builds off of another. Too often, you know, I don't want to put this all on Heartline, but too often it just felt like there was no flow and no rhythm to the offense. And they really struggled to integrate the run game with the pass game. It just felt like, you know, never the two shall they meet. And, you know, you didn't have the passes to the running backs like you had with Henderson and all the other things that you just watched it. It was, I said, Kelly,
no exploding the middle of the field.
Yeah, I said to Kelly after the Rose Bowl, that was a work of art. And, you know, I mean, what you just did. And he's like, we got two more games to win. You know, he wasn't having it. So, and he was right. But, you know, I never felt that after an Ohio State game last year. So, yeah, that's weird. What you need to get back to.
Definitely interesting. And look, we're going to have plenty of time to dive into all that at length. So we hope you enjoyed the football chatter. We are going to turn the page to basketball chatter. I realize this is not for everybody. So hopefully you itched your Michael Jordan football scratch, and that was good enough. Now let's talk some hoops. As I said earlier, the basketball team is already done with summer vacation. If you saw the site, they're all moving back in. Not the 100-photo move-in gallery we need for football because the team is not quite the same. But there are a lot of new faces. You want to talk about new faces in football. Basketball is just gone off the absolute deep end. There are programs that I used to think were really good programs that had 11 guys in the transfer portal.
Yep.
So 52 pickup is the name of the game. Now, there's been a lot of chatter about Ohio State's basketball program, and I think there was a report, you know, earlier that they were spending in the below 10th in the rankings in the Big Ten. And let's make no mistake about it. Let's not mince words or be silly. Basketball really is now, your wins are pretty much equal to how much you pay. Now, is that going to be across the board 100%? Of course not. There are some teams going to put together what you think is a dream team, and it's not going to work out. But generally speaking, I think if you do the rankings at the end of the year and the GDP of the programs, they're going to be pretty similar. So that's really important to take into account. And the fact is Ohio State is not in the mix like they are in football. We just aren't. That's now the beauty of the money is you could be tomorrow. It doesn't take 8 years to build a football program or anything like that. You could be there tomorrow and you only got 5 starters, not 22. So it can be done. They are not doing it in that respect. Your thoughts on the basketball program. For those who don't know, Steve has been on the beat longer than I care to reveal publicly. So he has a proper perspective on this. And is a basketball guy at heart, I think, in a lot of ways. Your sense of the program, I think you do a great job getting across the vibe of the football program and the expectations. How would you characterize the basketball program at this point in a general sense?
I don't fault Ohio State fans for wanting more out of the basketball program. 13 years without a Sweet 16 is way too long. 13 years without a Big Ten championship of any kind is way too long. And an 18-team Big Ten makes it much more difficult to win a championship. So I think you have to kind of take that under advisement that, you know, it's going to be much more difficult going forward. Just as for Tressel, without a Big Ten championship game, it was harder for Meyer to try and win it with a Big Ten championship game. So it's kind of an apples and oranges comparison in some regards. But they got to do better. There's just no two ways about it. If you just look at the TCU loss, an 8-9 game, basically a pick 'em type game, and they don't win that game, you know, you look at it, it just the way it all turned out, you wouldn't be too unhappy about it. But the issue was, it was the latest mistake out of a sea of mistakes for this program, you know. So I just look at it that they've got to do better. I think expectations for this team are win 2 games in the NCAA tournament, get to the Sweet 16, and be in the top 4 or 5 in the Big Ten. I think those are realistic goals that this roster can do. They're certainly going to have much more support off the bench than the zero support they got last year. People will say, okay, you lose Thornton and Royal, and that's a lot of production. And I agree, and Tilly to a degree as well. But I think that they're going to spread that out across a number of people. And you got to hope that the numbers for a lot of these people increase from going from sophomore year to junior year and freshman year to sophomore year. Generally, everybody's numbers uptick a little bit. Stay away from bad injuries. They play at one, you know, they're going to play a tough schedule. They're playing BYU in Utah. They're playing Connecticut at Gamble Pavilion, it seems like, plus Kansas, Notre Dame on the road. They need to have a marquee home game against somebody. We haven't heard that yet. Maybe that'll come out today. When we talk to Jake Diebler, he'll give us a clue of who he's trying to wrangle to play at home as a major opponent. But to me, I did 75 minutes on basketball the other day. If anybody's interested, go and find that under my profile name. You'll find that link to that show. And we talk
video love too. Video love. You get to see Steve.
Yeah, it was video edition of Steve Says. And again, they got the players to do this. People want to poo-poo Justin Pippen. That's fine. He did average 14 points, 5 assists, and 2 steals in the ACC last year for Cal, traveling, you know, 6-hour commutes to games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It to me, there's something there, and I think it's going to be on Diebler to pull it together.
Question from the gallery.
Yes.
This is huge. Is Anthony Thompson the real deal? Now, I don't know.
Great question.
We're not – I'm trying to put this in context. This freshman class is not as heralded as the one you see now getting ready for the draft.
Yeah.
The Cam Boozer and A.J. DeBonsa and Darren Peterson from Ohio. It's not. However, if you have a top 10 guy on coming in, he's expected to be a lottery pick. That's just the way it goes now. That's just a fact. Go back and look over the last 10 years at who's been the number 7 rated player coming into the season by 24/7 Sports. And you're going to see some names. There's some guys with beach houses on there. Well, NIL now. But I'm saying like real pros. If Anthony, I can tell you this, they're not in the mix recruiting-wise for Anthony Thompson in the next cycle. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the few times I think the Ohio locale worked in their favor. He's a Lebanon kid who went to Western Reserve. He never left the state. Even Alex Smith left the state. What's your so what is a good Thompson comparison? So I know. So I'm not trying to think about this. So Thompson is from the Dayton area. And when he was heading into his sophomore year, he played in the fall league, and my younger son was the point guard. Believe me, here was the go as fast as you can and throw it as high as you can to Anthony. And we played against community colleges in this fall league, and he dominated. He's legitimately 6'7". This was a few years ago. He's left-handed, and he can shoot. He's an outside-in guy. He's a perimeter player right now. What I was told is they hope the best case scenario would be bigger Michael Redd. To me, the best case scenario would be Paul Pierce. Now, that would be the extreme end of the spectrum. Paul Pierce is a Hall of Fame stud. But we're talking about a guy who's legitimately, I mean, when he gets measured, he's not going to be 6'5.5". You know, guys, they list at 6'7". You're like, wait a minute. He's shorter than – no, he's going to measure out 6'7". He'll probably still growing, probably be a 6'8". I think he's probably 6'7", barefoot. And he has to have a big year because I can tell you this. I don't care what anyone says. The expectation is he's going to be a one and done. Nobody in the top 10 thinks they're not one and done. I'm not saying he will be one and done, but just – and this is conservative, the top 10 – No high school player coming in who's rated in the top 10 thinks he's going to be there for more than 8 months.
Yep.
Some guys less than that. So I'm not saying he's going to do that. He may be the exception to the rule, but that has to be the expectation going in. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that if you're the number 7 player in the country, you need to play up to that ranking, and that means you've got to be pushing 14, 15 points a game, if not more, and have an impact across, you know, your fingerprints across, you know, all aspects of the game. And I think that Anthony Thompson is a guy who's capable. He's a very bright kid. I think he did very well on the Adidas circuit, and that really pumped up his ranking. Western Reserve Academy, let's put it this way. I think the caliber of their games and their competition is on par or maybe even better than like Division I Ohio basketball, absolutely, which is like Moeller, Huber Heights, Wayne, Centerville, St. Ed's, you know, the best of the best, the creme de la creme of Division Lakota West, Division I basketball in Ohio. I would put Western Reserve Academy maybe a half tick above that, but they are certainly below where Alex Smith went, Prolific Prep, IMG, Montverde, Oak Hill Academy, where LJ Smith, the guy who's committed for next year, is playing. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, you don't see a lot of guys at Thompson's level get ranked in the top 10 nationally. Ordinarily, those spots are reserved for Boozer, the unicorn at a, quote, public school, and then, you know, all the Prolific Prep, IMG, Montverde, Link Academy.
Darren Peterson went to Prolific. Yeah, Darren Peterson went to Prolific Prep.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, I want to see Anthony do it. If Anthony plays like a one and done, then they're going to be a Sweet 16 team. But if he doesn't play like a one and done, then they're going to have an issue where some other people are going to have to absolutely step up and outplay the numbers that are on the back of their baseball card, because that's they're counting on Thompson. I mean, they shoved Devin Royal out of the plane 5 miles up in the air because they have Anthony Thompson coming, and Devin Royal was going to give you 15-7 every game this coming season had he stuck around. It's, you know, it's bird in the hand or two in the bush or whatever that old adage. If money wasn't a factor, I think Royal would still be on this roster, to be honest with you. But, you know, they couldn't afford starter dollars for a guy who's only going to play 20-25 minutes a game.
Yeah, that's a whole – I mean, there's almost two discussions to have about basketball now. One is like the on-court approach, and the other is how much money they're going to spend.
Yeah.
And they definitely intersect at some point.
Gapologist. The only thing I'll say is they have been looking for a guard to add to this roster. I'm a little skittish about the depth at guard. I'm very bullish on the guard on the depth at 4 and 5. I think they're going to be okay, led by Amari Bynum. We're going to find out today if Josh Ogunwunna, the Baylor transfer, has ever picked up a basketball yet. He's had
the longest
suffering knee injury in the history of recorded sports. And so well over a year. And so they need him to be a solid 22 minute a game, 9.8 rebound guy, hold his ground against the studs in the Big Ten. Don't let him get off, you know, in the paint type defender. And to me, all those pieces have to come together. But I think they could use another guard, and it wouldn't surprise me if they added one more guard to this roster. Kind of keep that under advisement. We might see some movement there here in the next few weeks.
Steve is off to interview all the basketball players for preseason. I told him I'd get him out of here at 9:10. Miraculously, it is.
We are right around. Yep.
And we are getting out of here. Hope everyone enjoyed it. I'll be back tomorrow with Mark Porter and Garrick Hodge. Tons of recruiting information to discuss. Lots of Brady Edmonds Elite 11 chatter. Have a good one, Nutters of Buck.
Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
We are going to go where the evidence takes us.
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus.